There was this great moment. I went out to get Kevin O'Connor to come in. He's the executive director of Joseph's House, which we've been talking about for the past hour and a half. And he is in our green room, and all you could hear are the phones ringing off the hook, literally ringing off the hook, and people on hold and waiting to get their opportunity to give money. And I just said to Kevin, see what you started? So it is a great pleasure. Joseph's House, founded in 1983. Is a Troy community-based not-for-profit corporation that provides a continuum of homeless services to residents of Rensselaer County, New York. Joseph's House offers emergency shelter, street outreach, and support service to homeless and formerly homeless individuals, youth, and families. They offer non-judgmental services where each guest's dignity and worth are recognized and respected. And out of all of the things that they do, I think that's the one that really hits home to me the most. That's a beautiful, beautiful part of their concept. We are joined by Executive Director of Joseph's House, Kevin O'Connor. Kevin, it is always a pleasure to have you
before
these microphones.
It's certainly my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, how are things going out there? I know when we talked to Natasha Pernicka about the food pantries on Monday, I said, how have the last couple of months been? And she said, it's been tough.
It's been tough, but it's not dramatically tougher than it's been all year round.
It's always tough.
People think, you know, and I got calls from local media around this time of year when the snow first falls, when it gets really brutally cold, and they ask about the services we provide during those days. But it's a year round problem. The weather, the snowflakes don't create homelessness. Economic injustice is the thing that really causes homelessness. We have folks over the last 35 years, and if you look at what people earn, the lowest quartile of wage earners after taxes, their incomes only went up 16% over a 30-year period. At the same time, housing quadrupled, went up four times. So it's a math problem. It's affordability of housing. It's a lack of access to affordable housing. It's income, as well as folks with certain disabilities and certain special needs that need to be accommodated. And it's a year-round challenge.
In our limited time with each other, I would like to basically go over three things. And one of those is, what do we know about what makes a person homeless, in the sense of that puts them out on the street, that is the last resort?
Yeah, the common denominator is income, the lower income. It's a symptom of poverty. Homelessness is a symptom of poverty. It didn't used to be, but certainly it's a major symptom of poverty. And you look at folks who are poor in this country, and there are social indicators for that. You're more likely to be poor in this country if you're a woman, if you're a child, if you're a person with disability, if you're a person of color, and if you're a person that doesn't have access to higher education. Those are social indicators. Those are indicators around who you are, who you were born into, and what kind of income you have. And that really is the cause, as well as our changes in public policy over the last 35 years. We've switched from a war on poverty and a great society to one that looks at personal responsibility and blames individual and stigmatizes individuals for not being able to succeed, maintain employment that can support their housing needs and food needs and social needs.
Isn't mental health a huge part of this?
Mental health is a part of it. I don't want to overstate it, though. Sometimes it's cause, sometimes it's effect.
That's a good point, yeah.
So, mental health, about 25% of us in the non-homeless community suffer from some sort of mental illness, mostly depression, anxiety, other kind of mood and thought disorders or psychotic disorders. We do have about 40% of our single adults have pre-existing major mental health disorders. And we have a little over half of our folks coming in reporting significant substance abuse disorders. So it can certainly. Let's look at those issues, though. 35 years ago, it was easier to get mental health treatment. The average length of stay in a psychiatric facility is 28 days. The average stay now is under a week. Substance abuse services. In Troy, we used to have three detoxes, and now we have none. So what we've done with managed care over the last 35 years is actually make some treatment less accessible to folks. There are people that are doing great work out there, outreaching and providing great mental health services. My wife works at the Ellis Hospital. She does a great job through there. But it's more fractured. Mental health services are more fractured now and less accessible. So we can certainly look at the individual and say it's because of the mental illness and the noncompliance, or we can look at the system and say we've got to improve our mental health systems and substance abuse systems to make them more attractive and successful.
What is the model then that you have created, that has been created at Joseph's House, to bring people in and not only provide, I know we've said this before, with three hots and a cot, but to do so much more for the individual when they come in?
Recognizing, again, a lot of what I just talked about, that circumstances are more likely to make somebody homeless than their personal decision-making, that we try to be non-judgmental. And it's a tough call. It's a tough task for everyone to do, and our staff. We have great staff and volunteers. We all focus on trying to be non-judgmental, not judging a person because they're ringing that doorbell seeking shelter at any hour of the night. And we also have a program, an approach we have adopted called Housing First. And what Housing First is to get people off the streets as quickly as possible, out of shelters as quickly as possible, into permanent housing. Once in permanent housing, we've seen people make dramatic changes in their life. They no longer have to worry about where their head's going to rest the next day. They make better choices for themselves with health, mental health, substance abuse. And so we are firmly supportive of the whole Housing First movement.
When you think about the work that you do and the work that you've been able to do over the years, you've been at this how long?
36 years.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you've seen a lot of changes.
There's been a lot of changes.
In the way things go. And I guess I'm interested as we wrap up of the difference that the help that you receive, the difference that a donation makes, the difference of what it allows you to do so people get an understanding of how they can make a difference.
So our mission is to provide non-judgmental services to end homelessness. And that's a big task. But when we get help from the community in many ways, and I particularly want to thank the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation for its support, as well as many other contributors to Joseph's House and Shelter, it sends a message to individuals that they are not being forgotten, that they are important, that we will listen. And that's the important task that we try to do in the shelter, is listen as much as possible to someone's stories. When you listen and have somebody tell their narrative and unpack the narrative, 9 times out of 10, they identify the things that they need to do to make improvements. And it builds trust, and we provide information. We don't tell them what to do, and we're always there for them. And I think that expression, that relationship, sends an important message of dignity and respect, and rebuilding trust for somebody who's had gone through the cycle of homelessness and been rejected by so many people in the community is the number one task that we need to do, and we as a community need to do as well. We need to help people to gain trust that we as a community are there for them, that everyone is welcome. We don't write anybody in our communities off, that everyone deserves basic needs, including housing.
Kevin O'Connor is the executive director of Joseph's House. I can't thank you enough for all the beautiful work that you do for our community and for the wonderful partnership that you have forged with us and with the Seymour Fox Foundation, of course. You can find out more information about Joseph's House by going to josephshousetroy.org, josephshousetroy.org, and find out a lot more information about the beautiful work that they do. Again, thank you so much for being with us and for working with us on this, and it's just always a pleasure.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you to WAMC community.
Thank you very much. Again, you can find out more by going to josephshousetroy.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.